Alicia, with you this evening. Great guest. You've been waiting for her to come back. She was on in December. I was not available, however, to have the privilege of doing the show with her. So she has agreed to come back to join me this evening, Mary Kay Greer. Before I have her come on, I'm going to give out the information to you. We are taking your phone calls this evening. If you'd like to take this rare opportunity, if you don't get an opportunity to go to any of her events, which we will be discussing, you can take this opportunity now to call up, say hello. If you have a question you want to ask her, this is the time to do it. We aren't going to be doing readings this evening, however. So just to chit-chat and say hello, the number is 888-345-3025. Outside the U.S. and Canada, 740-994-0101. And if you're ever going to be away from and not have access to a computer to listen to us, we have a way that you can listen through the telephone. And if you go to themixtalk.com, the directions with the phone number and the codes that you have to hit are on the homepage of the website. I am Misha. I am a certified tarot instructor with the Tarot Certification Board of America. I am also their current executive director. My website, for those listening for the first time, is www.tarotbymisha.com. If you'd like to drop me an email regarding any of the shows or suggestions what you want to hear in future shows, feel free and do so. My email is tarotbymisha@aol.com. If you're interested in certification, I will give you their website as well. It is www.tarotcertification.org. There are 7 levels. They are explained and broken down on the website. The telephone number and email is on there as well. Without any further talking, I want to bring on Mary. Hello.
Hi, Misha.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes, you've got the sunshine. I'm in the middle of the fourth blizzard in 2 weeks.
Got a bit of rain, but not like you.
This one, instead of the snow, it's the wind, although we're going to get anywhere between, I guess, 8 to 12 inches. They've lowered it a little bit because a lot of it all day didn't lay. It laid on the grass, but we had temperatures, fortunately, in the 40s. So the ground was warm enough to start accumulating right from the beginning. So I'll take some of your sunshine.
You're welcome to it. Anything to help.
For those that are just tuning in this evening a little bit late, I have the wonderful Mary Greer with me this evening. She's privileging me with coming on in a short time span since her last visit. I didn't get to be on here the first time that you were a guest with Farrell, who filled in for
yes.
me. So here we are. What I want to do for those that maybe it was around the holiday time that you were last on in December, so there may be some people that didn't get to catch the show, although it has been archived online. Not quite sure where, but if you do type in the Mixed Talk, Tarot by Misha, and Mary Greer, along with Farrell's name, it will come up. I'm not sure where the link is, the website link. For those that did not join you then, let's give a little background brief about how you got started. I know psychic work runs in your family.
You mean my great-grandmother?
Yes.
Yeah, she lived in New Orleans, actually Gretna, across the river from it, New Orleans. And I learned fairly recently that she read cards. I knew she was somebody who could kind of foretell the future by various means, and people would come and visit her, and my mother would always be sent out of the kitchen so that she could have these private conversations with people who came for help. But my mother never told me until recently that she used cards as part of what she was doing. So that was real thrilling. But my mother and grandmother were not that into it, so it was only my great-grandmother going back a ways that found this of interest. For me, it was discovering the cards Christmas of 67 when a friend got a book from the Eden Gray book, the Complete Guide to Tarot, I believe. Tarot Revealed. That's the first one. And I was just so jealous that she had this book, but neither of us had ever seen the cards, and she didn't get a deck of cards to come with it. We could just see the pictures in the book. So I went on my first big spiritual quest to find this deck of tarot cards, which I did. And that just got me started. I knew right away that this is something that I wanted to teach eventually, and that someday I would write a book about it.
And you've written more than one book.
I kept going.
And you're doing more than teaching. You are very well known and looked for and sought after for the big conventions and get-togethers, which we want to let everybody know you're going to be at two big ones coming up in the spring and in June.
Yes, April 23rd to 25th is the Reader's Studio in New York. I'll be teaching classes with Robert Place and Eleanor Greenberg. Eleanor's a psychotherapist, and Robert Place has created, I don't even know how many tarot decks, probably at least six of them by now, and recently was the curator of an exhibit in Los Angeles of Tarot, The Fool's Journey of the Tarot, wonderful exhibit that I got to go to. So I'm really looking forward to doing the Reader's Studio with them. The idea of the Reader's Studio is it's all experiential in order to refine your skills, either for reading for yourself and friends or professionally. And then on June 11th to 13th, the Omega Institute up in Rhinebeck, New York, is doing their very first Omega Institute Tarot Conference. And that's going to be organized by me and Rachel Pollack. And we're bringing in Juliet Sharman Burke from England. She's done a couple of decks, including the Mythic Tarot, and Lon Milo Duquette, who's written on the Thoth deck, and Ruth Ann and Wald Amberstone, who are the organizers of the Reader's Studio and have something called the Tarot School in New York City, as well as phone classes. They're just fabulous.
Yeah, so I've had a lot of the names that you mentioned on the show in the past. You got a great
for you.
Great, yeah, getting together. Now I just have to be able to get out to one of those and get to meet you, since I've had most of you on the show in the past.
Definitely. Oh, and I should mention also, after the Omega Institute Tarot Conference, which is a weekend, Rachel and I are doing our regular five-day workshop at Omega, which this year the theme is Tarot Magic. And that's going to be really exciting. It's not just ritual and magic. It's what is the magic of tarot? What is it that's so special and extraordinary about it, and how can we tap into that? So that's going to be real exciting. If you want, and you can come for both the weekend and 5-day back-to-back, and it's just tarot heaven.
Yes. I'll be there in spirit. I won't be able to make it. And no, unfortunately, I can't. Not for a couple more years. I don't see myself able to, unfortunately.
Well, let's just put the universe that it will happen, if not this year, soon.
Yes, yes. And as you said, the Amber Stones run the Tarot School in New York. That's where a lot of people write me, confused with the TCBA, with the certification, thinking that it's also a school. So I get the emails questioning me about the classes, which there aren't, as well as people just interested and they want to get started. They're not quite sure, though, that they're ready and want to take, you know, some more studies and classes on it and ask where we recommend, and that the Tarot School's where we send them. Well, okay. Where I send them, I'm the one that handles the emails and the phone calls.
Yeah, so a solution can be good. It can lead you just to the right place.
Yes, yes. And they are the ones that hold the Reader's Studio.
Yes.
You're there every year or just about, right?
Well, I attended most years, and this is the third time I'll be speaking at it.
Okay.
You know, presenting a workshop.
Right, okay. And for people that aren't sure what it is, it's for everybody. It's not just for beginners or the pros like Mary. It's for everybody from beginner to the pro.
Yeah, actually it was originally conceived as a place that people could improve their existing skills. So, you know, it was assumed that you had some tarot background, but they got lots of calls from people that they knew were good tarot readers who were saying, well, I'm not advanced enough. And the fact is that everybody is so supportive and so friendly, and the exercises, the experiential work is of a kind that can be done at any level, because we have people coming in with all kinds of different experiences. So we try to make it something that you can just pick up wherever you are. So the fact is, as long as you know that there are 78 cards in a tarot deck and you have some concept of what they are, you are advanced enough to be able to attend. And
right.
Like I said, everyone's so supportive and so friendly that don't hesitate for a second. If you're thinking about doing it, sign up and come.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And the dates for that, again, is coming up.
April 23rd, 25th for the Reader's Studio.
And it's a weekend, so it won't interfere with anybody's work week.
Yeah, a lot of people do come a day early, either to go into New York, into Manhattan, or just to hang out with friends, often from the Internet, from the different forums. A lot of the different forums use it as an opportunity to meet people they've been talking to over the Internet for years.
Right, right. And the Omega Institute conference
is 11th of June.
Is June 11th through the 13th.
And then the 13th through the 18th for Rachel's and my in-depth workshop.
We have a caller on the line, Mary. We have Kevin from Washington, D.C. on the phone. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Just real quick, I heard you guys talking about Rachel Pollack. I had a personal reading from her back February 8th, 2002, and she signed her book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom, for me while I had that reading as well. So I feel like I'm having like a little bit of a like connection to the past or whatever. So what is it that you have going on with Rachel that's coming up?
She's She's an organizer with me at the Omega Institute Tarot Conference in June in Rhinebeck, New York. And then after that, she and I are co-teaching tarot magic using the power of symbols and images, which is a 5-day workshop at Omega.
That's awesome. Well, I don't know if she would remember me. She sees so many people, I'm sure, but she had just got back from Germany, I think she had told me, and that I had a chance to come into town or, like, go visit her at her house over there in D.C., and she was able to give me, like, a half-hour reading, and, like, it touched me for the rest of my life. It, I feel that it was sort of like a catalyst that got me to where I am today, because I was a little bit of a chicken, you know, when I first was working with the tarot back in 2002. But since I had the reading with her, there's something like she opened up a portal, a conduit, a gateway, a doorway or something. So I'm not tooting her horn or anything, but I just want to let everybody that's listening that by you guys connecting up with Rachel and our friend here that's on the show, that you guys can plan for amazing experiences.
Definitely. I've had the privilege of having Rachel on as a guest. I think it was in the spring or the summer that she was on, and this is Mary's second time on. And you have something that is very commemorative to you, Kevin, by having, you got the reading done, and she signed that book, the book for you.
Yes.
So that,
like,
is
way back, I think,
very special for you.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a great show. I'll let you get back to it, but just want to say thank you and keep at it.
Well,
okay.
Thank you for listening and giving us a call, Kevin. It was nice to say hello to you.
Yep. Take care. Great show.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We want to also, Mary, let everybody know for any information that they have missed out on dates, or if they want to look things up more, they can find that on your blog, which is on WordPress. So it's marygreer.wordpress.com.
That's right, and I have lots of posts there, but all the events are in their own section, so they're easy to find.
And you have the link to each one of them as well for the Tarot School,
right,
for further information for the Reader's Studio, which, again, is April 23rd through the 25th.
Yep.
You have all your publications on there and your blog write-ups as well, which aren't just like some people just do very short or teasers. You do very lengthy and detailed with your write-ups. Your most recent one is the Tarot Console and Intel Circles.
Yeah, that's a really exciting process. We'll be doing it at the Tarot Conference, which the theme there is Tarot and Intuition. So I'll be using one or the other of those processes at that conference. Techniques are ones that help people get very quickly into the intuitive aspect of reading cards. It's kind of like, you know, throwing somebody in to learn how to swim, but there's no problem with sinking because it's such a supportive environment. So I really encourage people to either try out according to my post or come to one of my workshops where we do one of those circles, because they're just amazing what comes from that experience intuitively. You know, we're always looking for what's going to trigger the intuition. How can we learn to really access the intuitive aspect of tarot reading, which ultimately I think needs to be blended with learning about the cards as much as you possibly can and about symbolism. But the intuitive part has its own skills, And, you know, this one is one that really shows you these processes, the Intel Circle and the Tarot Council Circle, really show you that you do have intuition and exactly how it functions. So I really encourage people to read over the post. And if you've got a group, try it yourself.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Another thing that I want to bring up that was very cool that I had heard about was mentioned on the air, and that is by Rachel Pollack, that she said she learned it from you, and that is doing a reading using the full 78-card deck. And under five minutes, not just doing a reading, using all the cards, but doing it in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot you can learn from that. It's one of those exercises that kind of blows people away. It's not an in-depth reading by any means. But what you realize is that there's usually a theme that will repeat over and over and over again in the reading. And what you realize is that when you shuffle the cards and cut and then lay them out, that what you've really done is cut into a slice of a kind of a cross-section where the cards are saying the same thing that they would say probably in any other section you would cut to. There's a certain pattern to the flow. So when you read all 78 cards, you get to see what that pattern is and how it repeats and how any spread is just a cross-section of that kind of whole. It's like a hologram, really.
Yeah. And symbolism is a big part of it, and it's interesting too. I don't know about yourself, Mary, but for me, it just brought out for myself where anything that I'm looking at, if somebody's getting a reading and even for a photo, along with whatever I pick up with photos, I'm automatically drawn to the symbolism that's being shown in the photograph. For instance, I had one shown to me, and the interesting picture that they gave me of the person was he was on a baseball field, and it was taken, you know, from the stand on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, you know, relate the symbolism. The fence right in front, and you know, there was problems going on without getting into personal things, and you know, that just, you know, said it right there. He's put the wall up. He's barricaded himself with what's going on, and he wasn't dealing with the problems. And even in photographs like that, I, you know, it's so natural to see something and it clicks to a certain tarot card with different symbolisms and things like that. So it's really, you realize as you're doing it and getting involved in more and more things how it really, you know, there's so much that you get from using the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings out so many other abilities. That brings up a thing with that test a lot with the TCBA. How can you test? Because there's not a set way. It's
right.
Not like taking a spelling test or a math test in school, and 2 + 2 is always 4.
Exactly. It was always a problem because I used to be involved with the Tarot Certification Board, and, you know, we really struggled with that. You know, how can you take a difference between somebody who's just saying anything about the cards at all. I'm somebody who really knows the cards. You know, can we differentiate always in testing? And the choice was, do we insist on a particular system, or do we focus on a person having a deep understanding of whatever system they've chosen to work with, or even perhaps created themselves? And, of course, we went the latter way.
Yes, yes, you have to, because it's such an individual thing that, you know, with me, being the executive director, for those that may not know it, I'm, besides answering the emails and the telephones, I'm doing the testing. I have a few wonderful people that have gone through it and have volunteered along with myself to help me when I get bombarded, which I am right now. I guess, you know, it's winter time. People are helping with all these snowstorms that are taking place. And, you know, the school year, people start, oh, let me go do something. And it is, I just love doing that part of it, because you see all the different individualism that everybody, that you could give the same question to 10 different people. They will be 10 different spreads used, 10 different ways of doing it, and it's, you know, sometimes I just sit there, you know, when I know a few choices of how I would take that question and handle it for a reading, and it comes back nothing anywhere near what I would do. And it's amazing sometimes. It's, wow, yeah, that's a new way. It's a growing process and continuing always something to look at it in a new light.
Well, I think that's something that the internet has really helped us do, because there's so much sharing on the different forums. People who learned a particular method and thought that was the only method have had to let go of that in communicating with other people, or else they end up getting everybody mad at them, you know, if they stick to their one attitude. But really, you can see on the different forums that there are other people who are very competent readers, very, very good, really provide their clients with, excellent readings, and yet they use a completely different approach, one that you had never thought of before. So I think we have an advantage that no people have ever had before, to realize that there are a variety of ways of getting to what people need from a consultation, from a tarot reading. And there's no one answer to, the type of reading or the particular meanings of the cards or system that is absolutely right or wrong.
No, and for those debates, because there are debates, and it comes up from people that, you know, have no clue, have never asked how we go about certifying. Just take it to thinking, oh, you got to go through a test, that means they're going to be telling us a specific way to read. And that's not what it is at all. And it's hard to explain it, but, you know, they turn around. Sometimes the people have to be explained that, you know, even though psychic abilities come in to play, it's not a psychic certification. It is on the cards. And then their next question is, well, then how can you do that without demanding specific meanings for each and every card? An example that I can give that I received over the holidays, somebody had submitted for their words. This one just stands out to me for the Tower card. they submitted for them that it was earthquake. And I said, okay, you know, I have to question, you know, is she predicting? Using this, that it means you're going to be getting an earthquake, like people that just maybe pick up the deck or don't know anything about it. Hollywood's given the death card meaning a physical death. Somebody's dying. You're dying. And that's not what it was. And I had to look at that the same way as I would, you know, anything else. And I had to question her to please elaborate on what she means by the tower card, and that was just her way of shortening the big, long explosion that goes on, the tower falling, and just chaos all around you, and her easy way of describing it, and her term was to describe it as an earthquake.
In actuality, she was referring to a metaphorical earthquake.
Yes. Yes. And I just, all I had to do was question for her to elaborate. Using that to describe it is perfectly fine. That's how she relates to it. And that's fine. I just needed to know when she was going through the process, she did not mean a physical earthquake because, ironically enough as well, she was from California. So I thought, okay, maybe every time she pulls that card, they have an earthquake. I don't know.
We don't get them that often. If you're doing readings all the time, you're bound to get the tower pretty regularly, and it's not always a physical earthquake. But that's between saying something is an earthquake versus it's like an earthquake in your life.
Right.
So that's the big difference there.
Yes, and it just needed to be clarified. So, you know, that's just a small example of what I mean when, everybody has their own way to describe them. And, you know, to describe the tower as an earthquake is not wrong.
Well, asking her to be more specific about it, I think, is really good because, for me, one of the things about the going through the certifications is it forces you to be more articulate about what you're seeing and come down with some specific ways of communicating your insights because, as a professional reader, you have to be able to communicate these things in a way that the querent, the client, will understand. And so I think, you know, the testing itself can help you to be able to be very, very clear and not ambiguous. I remember some early tarot readings that me and my friends would do, and we'd sit there with all these intense cards going, it's like, wow, and oh boy, and then this wonderful thing will happen that will then have some difficulties, and, you know, we weren't saying anything much.
Right.
So we had to learn how to get more specific.
Right, yes.
And, of course, in the hippie days, saying it's like, wow, was what everybody understood anyway.
And the other thing is I get a lot. You know, I might get a phone call or an email. How does this work? I have to get certified. The very first thing that I inform them is you don't have to, in the sense nobody requires it. It's not a law in any of the states. No, you don't have to in that sense, that in order to read, you have to be. Some people feel they have to for their own securities. To be able to feel they know what they're doing. They've only done it with family and friends, and maybe they feel the family and friends are just yes and nay. Or I just know too much of their own personal lives. So I'm not reading the cards. I'm reading the information and elaborating on what I already know. So they need their own verification, and in that sense, it's a I have to in order to, you know, pursue this and know that I am actually doing this and don't want to turn around and do it for strangers in the event they feel they are clueless and only feeding off of known information. And it's not a thing where if somebody's not certified, they don't know what they're doing. And I find I explain that, you know, to people that ask. And that's a big, one of the conflicts that I've come across or been asked, because of being the executive director, they're like, okay, so you're promoting it, and, you know, you're saying if I don't have a certification, I don't know what I'm doing. No, that never came out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And that is not promoted or stated. And I am always informing people before I will even go over the testing and how to start it. If they're coming to me saying, I have to, no, you don't.
Right. There's no requirement for certification in the field of tarot, but it's a wonderful self-diagnostic tool where you can compare your standing in somewhat of an objective terms with other people's to see about what level you're working at. And if you're learning tarot on your own, if you're in some isolated community where there's nobody else around, it's one of the best ways to be able to gauge what your knowledge is and your expertise is in relationship with the other people across the country who are doing tarot. So I think it does a wonderful service for people in those circumstances.
Right, right. You're a big promoter, though, of learning it yourself.
Well,
not, you know, pursuing what further? Not pursuing further education, because that, you know, that's what you do, and you know that's needed. There's always more and more to learn. But your
self is more about reading for yourself. I've always felt that you can learn in a class what might take you years to learn on your own.
Right.
And so I've really encouraged people, where possible, to have direct classes, because you learn so much just from the experience of seeing how somebody else does something.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, just me checking the test, like I said, I sit there and I'm like, wow, that is a really good way of doing that. I want to give out the phone numbers again, because we're not doing readings this evening, but if you'd like to say hello to Mary, we're taking the calls. You can say hello, ask a question of her if you have it, and the phone number is 888-345-3025. Outside the U.S. and Canada, 740-994-0101. And I'm here on the Mix Talk with Mary Greer, if you're tuning in late. And she has a blog site, and the blog is marygreer.wordpress.com. She's going to be in New York at the Reader's Studio in April. The date's the 28th. I have to know that. That's birthdays. My whole month of April is birthdays in this house, 23rd to the 25th. And the Omega Institute, June 11th through the 13th. And then following that weekend, for 5 days, Mary and Rachel Pollack will be doing a 5-day class, right?
Exactly. And I urge everybody to come to my blog. All the events are listed there, as well as lots and lots and lots of articles, about 150 articles right now about tarot, on all aspects of it. There's a lot of history because I love the history of tarot, but there's also spreads and examples and information about people involved in tarot. Actually, my one rule for doing my blog is I can only put on it things that I'm excited about, and it's a place for me to do whatever I want. Things that publishers aren't interested in, but I love, I get to put up there. And I don't really have to think about anybody else but me and what I love most about tarot.
Yes, and that's what's so wonderful about doing them. You don't have to account to anybody. It's your own thing. And it's, you know, in that respect, too, for us, the people that come to them, they get a little bit more of a closeness to us, of who we are.
Yeah. Because and, you know, it's the things that I'm always digging up about tarot.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm always finding new and different things.
Yes. You were saying before the show, so I want to discuss that, you had just got a new deck.
One of the Lenormand decks. It's one of the cartomancy decks, 36 cards with simple pictures on each of the cards, and I've been really enjoying playing with it. It's I shouldn't say it's a whole different thing from tarot, but it's significantly different. It's much more for mundane affairs with very specific details, like you're going to get a letter that will be disturbing, and but without all the psychological dimensions to it. It's fun.
Yes. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
In all the years you've been doing this without getting, you know, personal, breaking confidentiality and personal things, what is the reading, for whatever reason, most unusual, most upsetting, the reading that to this day stands out the most that you've done?
What reading stands out the most that I've done? Wow. I mean, that's hard because there have been so many different readings.
And they stand out for so many different
reasons. There was one that I was thinking about earlier today. It's somewhere on my blog. I can't remember exactly where, but it was actually in a class where we were doing this interesting exercise of predicting a very specific future over the week that was coming. And so the following week, when everybody returns to the class, they can report on whether or not the prediction was accurate. Because I don't find the tarot especially good at predicting very concrete, specific things. And I want people to be as specific as possible. So you might look for a prediction as to whether or not a repair person is going to come before noon or after noon, if they've given you a span of hours, and see what the cards say and whether they that turns out to be true. Or you can try to do a prediction based on the results of a sporting game, you know, a football game. So we had someone who wanted to, can't remember what the specific question it was, but it had to do with the coming weekend and her ability to close out her father's banking accounts because he had recently died. So we did the spread, and it looked like there would be you know, that definitely things would be closed out, but that was about it. There was nothing in particular there that we said other than that, and that there might be some emotional stuff, because in tarot you always see these things, which seemed normal with a recently dead parent and going through their things. She came back in a total state of shock the next week because she had gone to the bank to close out his bank account and was there in the midst of a robbery. And she wanted to know why we hadn't predicted that.
And
if we're doing concrete predictions, shouldn't we have been able to tell her, you know, when you go to the bank, there's going to be a robbery or there's going to be something really shocking? It was interesting when we went back over the spread, we had it there, and we looked at it, and we could see that there were elements of it in the spread. And unfortunately, I don't have it right here with me to tell you the exact cards.
Right.
But what it's really focused to us on was more having to do with her being thrown back into a more youthful stage, the child, and deep emotional impact around her father, as well as some fear regarding that. And that was the closest that was there in the spread. I mean, there were some other things involved that we could see. But as it turned out, during the robbery, one of the men who had come in with his small daughter started to, you know, act as if he might take on the role of hero, and it was really scary for a few minutes if he wasn't going to, try something that could possibly turn the situation very bad. And this woman ended up comforting the little child, the little girl. And so for us, the reading had much more to do about that than it did about there was no card of there being a thief in the spread. There was none of the particulars and specifics that we would get. And so for me, I think that the tarot speaks much more to the psychological level of what the real transformation is, no matter what the circumstance.
Yes, it does. And another thing that comes to mind to me when you told that story, Mary, I've had all kinds of metaphysical people on here, mediums, everything. And one of the most common things with everybody, no matter whether they use a tool or don't, there's certain information, certain events for those that get detailed events like something like that, that they don't get because you're not supposed to know it, because it's supposed to play out however it's supposed to. And I know, you know, an example of that by some of the people I've had on, they'd say, well, if she had known that was going to occur, maybe she would have been trying to play hero and something worse would have developed. Maybe somebody would have gotten shot, including herself, or something would have happened to change, something would have happened definitely to change the events because she knew about it, but you don't know that that little change made it more negative.
Yeah.
And information, I tell people all the time, you know, especially, you know, with relationships, the big question, especially with Valentine's, have just ended. The big question was, when am I meeting somebody? When?
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that goes along with that. And, you know, I have to bite my tongue sometimes and say, do you want them packaged and put in the mail to you and delivered to your door too, because they just want to know where, when, names, how old, what do they look like, where am I meeting them, what's their job, and it's like, you know, they expect this person to just be hand-delivered to them.
Mm-hmm.
And information just isn't supposed to be given with certain things. Things need to play out.
Right. You know, we can influence something in the wrong kind of way if we think, we know what's going to happen. And, that could be definitely a danger. I think that if we're psychologically prepared, it's why on my blog I've got my kind of favorite statement of how I see tarot, which is tarot helps you meet whatever comes in the best possible way. So it's priming you for a particular attitude towards something in order to make the most of it, rather than telling you exactly what will happen.
Right. Yes, I love that, that quote. We have probably about 5 minutes or so. What do you have upcoming with any new releases that you're going to be working on? Anything that you can share?
At this point, not. I have just arranged with Wiser Publishing to come out with a new expanded version of Tarot Constellations. It'll have a new name. It'll have a lot of different material in it. But it kind of takes off from some of the basic work in that book with the lifetime cards, people's personality, soul, and year cards based on your birthday. So I'm very excited about doing that. That's still going to be a ways down the road before it comes out, but it's been out of print for a long time, and it needed major revision, a new look at it, and that's what I plan on doing.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And when it's going to start, you know, getting closer and closer to being done, if there, you'll have that posted on your blog.
Oh, definitely.
You'll be able to know when to expect
reality. If it gets more real, I'll put up information about it. And I've also been working on not a book so much, but a project on cartomancers, which is one reason why I've been looking at and paying more attention to the different cartomancy decks. But the people who have read cards for the past couple of hundred years, and I find the main documentation that occurs before the 19th century, it comes from paintings. So paintings and prints, and I've been examining those in order to get a sense of what the life was like for these card readers. And, of course, most of them, as documented, up through at least the mid-19th century, were women, usually older women, reading for younger women or women and men of a higher class. So it's a very interesting sociological look at the lives of women, and as I get older, also the lives of older women, of the crones, the wise women. Who were they? What roles have they served in society over several hundred years, and that we continue to serve today?
Well, that's very neat.
I think
so. And sounds so much fun to be doing.
It's fascinating looking at these pictures. I've gathered about 200 pictures, including postcards from the early 20th century. I sort of set my parameters of the earliest images I can find. There's a couple of possibilities from the 16th century all the way up to 1925. I put the cutoff date at the copyright date. But also after that, there is a whole new change and shift into the modern cartomancy, which brings in different kinds of images and issues, much more promotional, you know, advertising type images, rather than the slice of life genre paintings that we have from earlier.
Very nice. Well, we have 2 minutes left, so we have to wrap up. We want to give your blog again out. It is marygreer.wordpress.com.
Yes.
And all your events and all your publications, everything you've done is on there. Anything upcoming, along with the books that you just discussed that you're going to be doing.
Your publications are on site.
Your old publications are there. Anything anybody needs. If you missed part of this show, you'll be able to go to themixtalk.com by possibly the weekend and get it downloaded. I want to let everyone know the Mix Talk is on vacation next week. So don't think we went anywhere. We're just taking a week's rest. So I will be back live in 2 weeks. In the meantime, you can go to my website, TaraByNisha.com, or email me, TaraByNisha@AOL.com. Mary, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed this.
It was fun. I'll have to have you back again in the future. Everybody, have a safe 2 weeks. If you're in blizzards and snow, be safe. See you in 2 weeks. Good night.